Workforces at the Department of Defense, Veterans Affairs, and DHS have all gotten bigger, a lot bigger, over the past 4 years, even while Congress is talking about making agencies shrink. Tom Shoup is the editor-in-chief of Government Executive Magazine. He's writing about the growing and shrinking of agencies on his Fed blog, and he's here to talk about it now. Tom, good to have you on again.
Great to be here.
This whole idea of who's shrinking, who's growing, and how they're doing it, there doesn't seem to be any control over it. Congress is making statements, and but since they're not really passing any budgets, it's really hard to get a handle on which is going which way, isn't it?
Yeah, it is kind of. I think it's fairly clear that there are several indicators that over the past decade and even within the past few years, federal employment is on the way up. And as you said, it's concentrated very heavily in a few agencies, Defense, Veterans Affairs, and Homeland Security, which when you think about it, since 9/11, makes sense. But I think that, you know, that's a little bit of political red meat associated with that, because for a lot of people who have seen the numbers going entirely in the other direction in the private sector, they think, why is government doing all the hiring?
Mm-hmm. The whole concept of this, you mentioned in your blog post, 12% more federal workers now than in December 2007, according to the Bureau of Labor Statistics. I guess in addition to national security concerns, we could throw in the financial crisis, TARP, and the Recovery Act issues in there, too. Mm-hmm. And the idea of growing and shrinking, I mean, there's a little bit of an element, I guess, of a straw man, because if we shrink, according to this, down to, say, 2010 or 2009 levels, there's still more than if we go back to 2007. So it just seems to me all of this is a moving target. Is that unfair, do you think?
No, I think that's right, and I think it very much depends. If you're going to say, what are we going to do about it? Well, the House, there's a House committee voted last week for a 10% cut federal employment over 3 years by attrition, basically, by replacing only one out of every three, or maybe two out of every three people who leave. So you can sort of start to get at it that way if that's what you want to do. There are a couple issues there. First of all, you know, that becomes then an across-the-board cut. Well, it's not an across-the-board increase in the number of employees. So if more people leave at the Social Security Administration than leave at the Department of Veterans Affairs, well, then you're cutting agencies that are not getting that much bigger, and not cutting agencies that have gotten bigger lately. So there's that whole issue, and then plus, you know, I think members of Congress are going to have to ask themselves: is it really going to, you know, if the key issue facing the country right now is jobs, do we really want to be putting more people, adding to the number of people looking for private sector jobs and non-government jobs that are becoming less and less plentiful over time?
Well, when that bill passed the House Oversight Committee last week, I had a couple of thoughts. I want to share those, and I want to hear what your thoughts were when that bill passed. My first thought was, it can pass the Oversight Committee. It'll probably pass the House. So what? This is wasted breath, because it'll never pass the Senate, and the president would never sign it. So it's an exercise in futility or in politics to that extent. The other issue is, we can talk about reducing the size of the workforce by X percent till we're blue in the face. Until Congress is willing to talk about what they're going to do about the size of the mission that they expect agencies to undertake, this is all, again, a mission in an exercise in futility or an exercise in politics.
Right. As to the first point, I'm not entirely sure it's out of the realm of possibility that something like this could get through Congress, particularly if it comes out of the super committee negotiations. I think there is a degree of bipartisan support for the notion that the federal government ought to get the federal payroll ought to get a little bit smaller than it is. The Simpson-Bowles Commission earlier this year backed that idea. And I think that Democrats might not entirely stand in the way of it. Hmm. But as to the second point, you know, again, it's this sort of meat cleaver approach. It's not the way to really run an effective organization, where you'd say, if we need to get smaller, what should we stop doing? And we'll go in and target that, and we won't do it anymore. We'll take the funding away. We'll take the people away, and we'll say that's just off the table. And that part part of it, and we've talked about this before, that's just not something that Congress wants to do, ever.
Basically. Well, and I'm surprised, and I continue to be surprised, and another thing you and I have talked about before on and off the air, is I'm surprised that nobody at either OMB or the agencies is willing to call Congress on it, especially on the House side, because I think that's a legitimate argument. Okay, if you want our budget to be this amount smaller, and you want our workforce to be this amount smaller, this is the percentage of resources that you're cutting. Which X blank percent of our mission do you want us to no longer do? What do we not have to do anymore to accommodate this? We're happy to do what you want us to do since you give us the money. And nobody's called them on it yet, and that really surprises me.
Yeah, it's not the way the debate tends to go. Now, that may be because the administration may not want to hear the answer from people on that. But I think that typically there isn't a good answer for that, for what is it that you want us to stop doing. Because I do think you tend to run into lawmakers who just say, well, you're just inefficient. You need to be more productive, and it's not about these things are important and we need to keep doing them. We just need to be doing them better and smarter the way the private sector does. So it's a tough argument to get into.
Well, and I think what you're saying is probably what you would hear from the Hill, and it strikes me that the response to that is, let's look at the amount, just take the financial part of it, the amount of improper payments that the government makes. Sounds like a huge number in and of itself, but as a percentage of the amount of money that they pay out at most agencies, it's minuscule. And so if you say, all right, this is where we can find efficiencies, that's not nearly enough to achieve what you want to achieve. So efficiencies aren't going to do it. So tell us what we're doing now that we don't have to do anymore, and really keep on Congress about it, because they're the ones that keep saying we need to cut, we need to cut, we need to cut. And yet I've never seen a member of Congress's website that doesn't have a constituent services tab. Click here to get help with federal agencies. So they understand these agencies are doing things for their constituents.
Yeah. The problem there is that the administration, too, has a vested interest in saying, we're cutting waste and we're getting rid of waste and, we're cutting improper payments. And so they don't want to say, well, it's really not that much money. They want to say, well, it's important that we save every dollar. And so it's difficult for them to be aggressive about saying that's not really going to get us to the real solution.
Yeah.
So it's, there's a little bit of blame to go all around on this.
I thought I had the solution to this, but you've shot me down again, Tom.
No. I have no intention of doing that.
I know that. You have only the best of intentions when you come on my show. Your blog post is good. We have it linked up at federalnewsradio.com.